So tonight we are going to dissect the illusion of what has been going on in our Mother Earth. You know, we're two very concerned people of higher consciousness that feel that they've gained enough knowledge and have been privy to a number of just ways of looking at the world. And we really need to come to a point and conclusion to really speak our minds and come about and make people, like-minded people, come together to see this and to spread it. The world is sick and we need to heal it.
Absolutely. I'm the other vessel of higher consciousness, and I think really at the end of this, what it boils down to is just kind of engaging a dialogue of, as we said, higher consciousness to inspire authentic, genuine, and intentional engagement with our lives. And not just under the guise of I'm a consumer in a system, or I'm even an inhabitant of a country, but more I identify as a member of a species in peril, member of a species that is not living up to its fullest potential. And you may have hit that point where you say, all right, I see that this way of life that's promoted is a fool's game. And I'm ready to open my mind and open my heart to some different ways of going about life. And if these conversations can accomplish anything, I hope that is one of the takeaway points. We will be presenting discussions in a series of focused topics, usually starting with a broader issue and maybe kind of bringing it down to a fewer more narrow points, coupled with some hopefully takeaway points and action steps that each and every one of us can take in our daily lives to maybe understand our life a little better and to start promoting the authentic change that we desire.
And with everything that we want to talk about, that we want to hit upon, there's really several core values that we want everyone to be able to take away to see in themselves. And it's, you know, one is to love everything, to come across as a genuine human being that considers someone's, you know, empathy and to be empathetic to others, to see everybody's walk of life and to treat them with the utmost respect that you yourself feel that you deserve. The other is to find truth, to look beyond media, social media, to experience the world with your own eyes, to not see it through someone else's lens, to not use some kind of device to see the world, but to go out and experience, to be semantically involved with your world, and then really to act selflessly, to transcend, to meet others and see where they're at and help them come across some truths, see more of what it means to be a human, to be a part of this world, not to passively live, not to be told how to live, but to direct yourself in such a way that you find meaning and you find happiness and spread that. That can come in a number of different forms, and that's what this is about. We're not telling anybody here to, you know, take our word and use it, you know, for every distinct tone, but to find your own path and your own ways of solving our problems and, you know, working around the issues and, you know, just being one with everybody, because community is everything. As we kind of grow and we find, you know, these social institutions to be kind of shackling, we want to break free of that social shackle and see the world and be a part of it, be more active in it.
And I would say it boils down to empowerment. The way modern society is structured is your average person is a passive consumer of information and a passive experiencer of life, waiting for the next answer to be handed down and waiting for the next solution to be provided by somebody else. And while it's true that we have experts in certain fields, we have policymakers, etc., there seems to be a disconnect between the average human being and his or her potential to make an authentic change in his or her community and the larger powers that be. And this could boil down to the government being too large or too small debate, but I don't think it's about that necessarily. I think it's about reclaiming the individual. Only if identified as part of a larger whole, not a individualistic pursuit, but working through the illusions that our way of life puts on us so we can identify with a larger source than ourselves. And this is a very, very time-consuming and difficult process because we have to face a lot of truths of ways that society has molded us to act and think and behave, some of which are valid, some of which are needed. But really, at the end of the day, it's a matter of dissecting those and deciding what is preventing us from truly reclaiming our planet, reclaiming our dignity as a species, and reclaiming a sense of community with our fellow man and woman. And, you know, it's imperative that we identify first as a member of the human species, but even greater, the planet Earth, and know that we are part of an interdependent system of life. And when there's something that is too elevated in that system, something else goes down, and something else goes up, and something else goes down in a balancing act. And we're reaching a point with population, with consumption, where the human footprint might just be at its climax. And the repercussions that we see through social failure, environmental failure, economic failure, you know, endless institutions within our society, I think this is the time where we must engage all those higher faculties that our species has fought so hard to learn and understand and apply them, and not just keep them filed away on a library shelf or in some lost research article. This is the time where we have to apply all those things and truly identify that this planet, this species, this life is in peril. And if we keep up with the status quo, we are heading into uncharted waters that we may or may not be equipped to handle.
Yeah, so really to get at all of this is to be mindful, to be aware, to look at everything that you do on a daily basis, to take inventory of it all. You know, do you wake up? Do you, you know, get caught, you know, watching TV, reading the same newspaper articles, doing the same things day in and day out, and not being a full participant in the world, you know, not looking at all the greater issues and greater problems that may not concern you, but ultimately have a place to make everyone's life better if we were all to buy in, if we were to all help each other and love each other as a distinct community of life, being able to show that to everybody, to be genuine, to be authentic, you know. And I think that's what you're going to hear from us quite frequently are those particular key terms of just being authentic and loving and, you know, and cherish those people around us. I mean, they come from, you know, fantastic psychologists from Carl Rogers and Abraham Maslow. And we tend to look at those amongst others that share this particular viewpoint, and we can see this stuff. We can enact in these ways. We don't have to. We don't have to criticize and jump to an opinion or jump the gun or not listen to people and just to find points to talk about and not really listen and take a second and see where everybody's coming from, to walk in their shoes, to see their points, to understand that maybe you might not be able to, even empathize, but you want to, right? You want to be able to empathize and you want to be able to see those things because that's enlightenment in one realm. And if you're able to get to that point, you are making for a better world, a more in tune world, a world that helps people and doesn't, pin us against one another as some kind of competition. Whether it be economic or whether it be, governmental or educational, like we don't want to pin each other against each other because in the end, that just brings us down. We can reference a number of points in which this competition at certain levels just makes us get greedier and greedier and we don't see any real, work to be done. I mean, we can take a look at the way the United States is functioning right now in terms of government. We can look at Congress and we can look at the presidents and we can really look at how they're calibrating in terms of their love. And we don't see that. We don't see the calibration of love. We see the calibration of fear, fear of the, if we don't buy things, then our economy will fail. Or if we don't do this, then this will go wrong. Or if we don't act now, this will fail. And really, it's not even... they're going about it in such a fearful way when you can go about it in a loving way, a caring way, a way that really truly fixes issues and not just covers up, these potential bullet holes with just band-aids and maybe even a little scotch tape, right? I mean, what we don't want is that. What we do want is authentic healing, ways in which we can, tune out the bad messages and listen to ourselves and listen to the community around us and be actively a part of those communities and grow those communities and share in what we all ultimately want. Knowledge, love, truth, happiness, desires of a feeling a part of it. And not being told what to look like or told how to speak or told how to, but to investigate ourselves and investigate others and meet people and be happy.
And I think the temptation in today's world, especially if you are coming at it from a point of, I want to improve things, is to get hung up on the problems and the nature of the problems and the causes of the problems. And... very guilty of that, willing to admit that. However,
yeah, for sure,
it would better serve us to look at this as the greatest opportunity in human life for potential. We have more resources, more capabilities, more efficient options at our fingertips, where if these things were applied pragmatically, responsibly, with certain values in mind, not the glorification of the self, but the glorification of the greater good, and just truly honoring the dignity of one another and our planet. If these things were put to use in that direction, we could advance significantly in terms of planetary vibration. Our consciousness would increase, our likelihood of continued existence would increase. And that's a point that not many of us are willing to face, is there are so many possible ways for our existence to be obliterated in today's world. And an MLK quote always comes to mind when I think of this is, those who love peace must learn to organize as effectively as those who love war. And over the course of history, those who truly love peace usually get pointed out and somehow knocked down, for lack of a better term, and don't prevail. But I think we're in a different era. We're reaching a point where there's many separate factors in life that are coming to a confluence. Population, environment, capabilities, the ability to transmit information and consciousness. All these things will interact and are interacting right now. And yeah, there's going to be growing pains, and we're living through these growing pains. But I think it's important that we reclaim the idea that, okay, maybe this isn't the best way to go about things. How does a species evolve over time? It adapts to the existing circumstances, the existing environment, the conditions in the environment. What I like to think about is consciousness as it pertains to this idea, as the global consciousness appears to be decreasing. Our environmental conditions are on the decline. It is imperative that the individual increases his or her level of consciousness in order to combat the external decline. And along with this journey of higher consciousness comes everything that you may have been searching for on this planet. You get peace, you get satisfaction, you get understanding, you get meaning. And the important paradigm to shift is happiness is out there. Happiness is this next purchase. Happiness is this next experience, but it's not. It can be. Those things can enhance our happiness and our satisfaction, but it boils down to the underlying representation of that experience, an engagement with something on this earth, an engagement with another person, cooperation over competition, kindness over rudeness. And when you start doing those things on a regular basis, things start to flow. One of the laws of consciousness is fear attracts fear. And there are so many forms of fear. David Hawkins is a spiritual guru whose principles have completely shifted many paradigms in the lives of many. And he talks about fear and love, different vibrations, different resonations. And fear is related to the selfish pursuit in life. Love is related to a holistic approach. And the world today spoon feeds us fear with every click, with every advertisement, with every, you know, time we step out the door, it just seems like there's something else to be afraid of. There's not enough voices saying, go interact with your neighbors, go trust somebody else, you know, have a conversation with the clerk at the grocery store. Speed, busy, fast pace. Where does it all lead to? Is this what we were destined for? Is this the pinnacle of life on this planet? And the illusion that is kind of perpetuated in this way of life is you're always seeking something. You're always pursuing something. You're always pursuing something outside yourself. Something down the road will finally bring you that satisfaction you long for. I don't know too many people who have gotten to that final destination. It's an old cliche. It's all on the journey. It's not the destination. And this resonates in every one of our lives every single day. We say, you know, maybe I'll put that off till tomorrow. Maybe I'll be a better person tomorrow. Maybe I'll be a nicer person tomorrow. But time's running out. not to take a fearful tone here, but in case you haven't noticed, there's not enough top-down decision-making right now to put our world to a place where we want it to be. So it's really, really important that you, on a daily basis, you know, bring about some of those positive, smaller actions, which, if done on a larger scale, have a snowball effect into a greater whole.
And that's what it comes to. It comes to you talking to your friends face-to-face, authentically, and bringing up some tough points, bringing up things that you know that maybe that person won't necessarily agree with, but it takes time, it takes love, it takes energy to do those things, and it's not quick. I know the way our world is, it needs to be quick. We want, you know, food at the click of a button. We want, you know, things, whatever, desires, objects, things in grandiose levels all right away. And this isn't something that can be done like that. We need to understand that, and we need to come to grips that our world is longer than us, and we need to appreciate that things come with time. The good things, the righteous things, the things that we will remember and care about forever. You know, if you think back to the stories that you heard from your grandparents, your parents, people you loved and trusted, whether that come from, you know, church, synagogue, you know, any place of prayer, you get to a point in which you hear these stories and you want to be a part of those. And we're saying, we're not stopping you. Go do it. Please do it. It'll make the world a much better place to live in. So at this point, we want to kind of wrap up our first conversation. I hope you decide to come in and listen to our next conversations, that you do see our points and want to share in them and go forth.
Go forth with good intentions. And like to end things with a dialogue of consciousness, a stream of consciousness that was written. And this is how it reads. There are not enough people acknowledging the magnitude of the times we are living in. We are a species whose pride and disengagement are leading to its imminent demise. We have willingly given up our dignity as a species for the name of comfort, convenience, imaginary security, and infantilism. The majority of the populace does not question the underpinnings of his or her existence. Instead, we depend on a false sense of order to direct the contents of our one and only lives that we know of. The nearly endless options of vice and diversion keep us distracted and disengaged enough that we have been lulled asleep, deaf and blind to the monumental changes of our habitat that are taking place. With each passing day, we become more disempowered, and our energy needed to enact real change is diverted towards yet another choice, or fed choice. The new iPhone, the new app, the new television show, the endless food options full of addicting flavoring, the new workout trends to cancel out the poison food, the new dumbed-down movie, the new horrific song, the continued decay of standards of conduct and decency, the increasing narcissism to mask our inner feelings of not being good enough, the Netflix, the seemingly endless pursuit of jobs to secure a lifestyle where we can surround ourselves with more things, the plastic, our education, which may be viewed as an indoctrination to a flawed system, the waste, the new cause or new movement to help patch the broken system, the new car, the sports telecast, etc. Each one of these zap our precious mental and spiritual energy that is desperately needed for our species to reclaim its sovereignty and dignity. Each one is a temporary and fleeting part of a lifestyle paradigm in decay. All of these things didn't matter 20 years ago and will not matter 20 years from now. Yet we give them our divided attention and are made to feel as if they are of the utmost importance. What is important is what the 21st century human being has been reduced to. The solution is so simple, yet we love to complicate things. Drop out. Take back your birthright of being a peaceful member of the human species, and more importantly, a loving and caring member of planet Earth. Simply stop participating in the destruction. Stop depending on something external that is based in debt and destruction. Why depend on something so flawed to direct your one and only existence you know of? Here's the catch. This approach will only work if enough people do it. The system has gotten so large and so powerful that if only a small segment of the population drops out, there will be but a tiny blip on the radar. But there are no other feasible options. Violence is not an option. Finding another cause or movement to join is not an option. It merely prolongs the problem. The whole thing is crooked and the whole thing is leading to our extinction. How can we justify participating in it?
Absolutely. So this concludes our first episode. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you have things to share. And we want this to be an open forum. So please post your comments below. Please post things that you've written or that you've cared about. And we like to address those things in our next episode. You know, we want the dialogue and the conversations to continue. I know it won't just be us in our episodes. We will have others come on and share in their points, their lines. You know, please share your, and share your links. And, as we kind of continue to. So go forth and spread some love.